Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. In the last 6 months or so, I had opportunity to read Rick Atkinson's book, In the Company of Soldiers. It was a book about the invasion of Iraq in 2003. Of all the aspects of the invasion chronicled, the preparation for the invasion was almost unbelievable. Seemingly minute, insignificant aspects were painstakingly analyzed and prepared. Preparation for such an undertaking was critical. Preparation was critical. This morning, as we celebrate what we know as Palm Sunday, we're going to look at Matthew's account of Jesus coming into Jerusalem the Sunday before what we call, or what we know as Easter. We call it Palm Sunday, and as we have already mentioned, you will see why. Jesus was preparing for Easter. Let's read together. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them. He sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a robber's den." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Jesus was preparing for Easter. Part of the preparation of Easter is the keeping of promises by Jesus. More prophecies concerning Jesus were being fulfilled. I tried to think of the exact number, and I want to say it's in the 300s. About the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus had been foretold many, many, many years. The disciples go into the village, the two do. They secure the donkey and they take it to Jesus. And he says, if you get questioned, you're to say, "Your king needs it." And that was to fulfill the promise that the king, the Messiah, was coming. The people laid their coats, their outer garments on the beast as the saddle. And the people in the crowd got so caught up in what was going on, they laid their coats in the road. And when they ran out of that, they began to cover the road with palm branches. All that was to honor the king who was coming. Now let me tell you, if someone were to prognosticate one or two events, or how a certain event was to transpire, say a year from now, no doubt we'd be impressed. We'd say, "Wow, how did they do that?" If you could tell me right now, if you've watched any of the NCAA basketball tournament, March Madness, if you could tell me right now who's going to win today, and then who's going to win each game next week, and who's going to be the ultimate champion, you say, how did they do that? How'd they know? You say, well, it was a lucky guess. Well, maybe one or two, three, four games, it would be a lucky guess. Don't bet against Kentucky is all I got to say. But for hundreds of very critical, very, very specific prophecies, if all of those, Jesus came into Jerusalem to prepare, to prepare for Easter, he was keeping the promises. He came in riding on a donkey, the colt of the donkey. And that was but one fulfillment of many of those prophecies, because Jesus came to keep promises. In the book of Exodus, there are four I will statements early on in the book that God makes to Moses and the people. And in the Passover, the third I will statement, I will redeem you, is made as a cup of wine is taken. And it was after this cup that Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, got up from the supper, took off his robe, and began to wash the disciples' feet. And the redemption of all was made possible on the cross. Jesus kept that promise that I will redeem you. So what promises of God are you trusting him to keep? What promises of God are you trusting him to keep? Are you trusting that his grace is sufficient? That his mercies are fresh and new every morning? Are you trusting him for every tomorrow you have, that you will have? Are you trusting that he will not leave you nor forsake you? Are you trusting that when you come to him with a repentant heart, that you will find forgiveness? All of this is a preparation for Easter. Another part of the preparation of Easter is Jesus came to set things right. Jesus' whole purpose of entering Jerusalem was to go to the temple. And when he gets there, he sees what has crept in to the place of worship. And instead of a place of worship, instead of a house of prayer, as he calls it, it has become a place of commerce, a robber's den. And instead of this emphasis on worship, the emphasis had become about buying and selling, the temple tax, and the buying of animals for sacrifice had to be done in a specific currency. And so they had the money changers, and then they had the people selling the animals for the sacrifice. And it had become a place of commerce. It had become a place to make a profit. And again, this is in fulfillment of Scripture's prophecy. One need this episode hits at is the need to die to sin. See, these people had seen an opportunity for themselves. They said, you know what? Instead of the rate of exchange being this today, I'll just up it a little bit. Instead of just saying, here's an animal for the same price that I paid for the animal to sacrifice, I'll just double the price. And so it points to this need to die to sin. If there hadn't been such a lucrative profit, there would not have been as many money changers and sellers. The temple had become a robber's den instead of a house of prayer. Jesus had come to set things right. While I was growing up, if my dad bought and sold one pickup, he bought and sold at least 50. And all of them had this in common: they needed help. As he used to say, they all needed a little TLC, a little tender loving care. And he employed the same strategy with each one. He started on the inside, with the engine and the transmission. Once he got the heart of the truck right, he started on the outside of the truck. Fenders were straightened and sanded, and he would paint the whole thing. Whatever it was the truck needed to be right, he set right. And that's what Jesus does. That's how Jesus works. Whatever you need in life, whatever hurt or damage you have experienced, he makes right. There is nothing that he cannot forgive. There is nothing that he cannot make right. And he always starts on the inside. He always starts with your heart. So how's your heart this morning? Has your heart been made new? He knows this, that all of us have this in common, that our greatest need is to have a relationship with him. Our greatest need is not religion. Our greatest need is relationship. We need to know him. We don't need to know about him. We need to know him. And that's what he makes possible. Do you have that kind of relationship? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? What is he doing in your life? Are you hearing his voice? Are you straining to hear his whisper? You know, have you ever said this? I bet every one of us has said this. I don't know what God's will is, but I wish he would just write it in the sky. Well, guess what? He's probably not going to do that. He's going to whisper it to you. Because he wants to get your attention. He wants us to strain to hear him. And this is part of the preparation for Easter. A last part of the preparation of Easter is Jesus came to change lives. While at the temple, the blind and the lame people began coming up to him, and Jesus healed them. Jesus changed their lives. They had a need. He was the solution. They had a need, and he was the answer. The chief priests and the scribes saw what was going on. And they realized that they were losing control of what was going on. They didn't have control of it anymore. And they heard the children cry out to Jesus, and they challenged Jesus about this. And this points to another need, that we need to die to self. You know what? If you're not in control of everything, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And that's what they had to come to grips with. The chief priests and the scribes were important, but not as important as they thought they were. And so for Jesus to heal and for Jesus to be praised threatened them. It threatened their position and their influence. Jesus came to change lives. Long before the plethora of home renovation shows was developed on HGTV. And there's scores of them, isn't there? If you watch that at all. ABC used to air a show called Total Makeover. It was shown on Sunday nights. And for a while, that was our after-church show. And in each episode, what would happen is that the family that was selected to have a total makeover would be sent away. The family had no say in what was going on. I remember one that they didn't do a renovation. The first thing the crew did was they just tore the existing house down and they rebuilt it. And that's what Jesus does. He doesn't tweak your heart, your life. He changes you. He gives you a new heart. He takes from you your heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. He takes from you all the guilt and shame of your life and makes you a new person. Is there anything in your life that you need to die to sin about? All of this is part of the preparation for Easter. What you and I call Palm Sunday, what we know as Palm Sunday, is about the preparation that Jesus was making there at the last moment. He was headed towards the cross. He knew it. It wasn't something that caught him by surprise. And part of all that was is that he was going to keep the promises that God the Father had made. That he was going to come and he was going to redeem. He came to redeem to set things right. Life is hard. Sin has touched every aspect of your life. But Jesus came to set things right. Most of all, Jesus came to change lives. Has He changed your life?